Anyone who hears the Christian message must answer is, what if it's all a hoax and Jesus did not rise from the dead? In other words, to be willing to hear that question asked is not only wise of us, but also to see how God's word not only asks the question, but also gives the answer. There are hoaxes, after all, in the world we live in. I was hoping to find a news report that I had heard in a sermon about four reporters. It's the late 1800s, 1899, and they're meeting together in a local pub in Denver. They represented four different newspapers, and as they got together, they realized that nothing newsworthy had happened that week. They were almost in a panic as they tried to increase the readership, do well at their jobs. And so finally, one of them mentioned the cardinal sin in journalism, and he said, "Why don't we make something up?" And the others responded negatively, self-righteously, and then in unison, in agreement. And so they discussed, what could that possibly be? Should we make up something about the political world? Should we make up something that's going on in Europe? Some sort of tragedy, some sort of privilege? What should we make up? And they're talking back and forth. And then one mentioned the Great Wall of China. And the others affirmed that'd be very hard for anyone to check out. And so they discussed back and forth and finally agreed that they would tell a story the next day in the newspapers that the United States of America had been asked by the Chinese government to rip down the Great Wall of China. And they reported it. And it was believed. Not only was it believed, but a few months later in New York, a newspaper article was written that not only affirmed their story, but had actually interviewed, or at least claimed to have interviewed, some people from China and how they felt about the Great Wall of China being torn down and replaced with a new road, a new highway. Now, what's kind of comical about that hoax is that someone wrote a song about it in 1938, and in the song they wrote, they claimed that the hoax started the Great Boxer Rebellion in China, happened in 1900. And that actually has been believed and affirmed by all sorts of people as they've looked back on that, but really there are no facts to substantiate the hoax created by the hoax. It was finally discovered to be a hoax 10 years later, when the last of the reporters who was still alive reported the lie that they had told and the spin-off lies that had gone all around the world and been reported as true. Have you ever wondered if maybe, perhaps, I mean, we know historically that Jesus existed. We can prove that. But have you ever wondered if maybe his resurrection was a hoax? I get asked that question once in a while, usually by younger people who are still willing to ask the hard questions out loud and not just in their hearts and minds. And if you have your Bibles with you today, and I hope that you do, if you could open them with me to 1 Corinthians 15, where the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, actually asks that question and then answers it. The question, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, does it matter? And then the answer that reverberates, yes, it changes everything. And so this morning, I would like us to go to this text. We will read it and then just ask two simple questions. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, does it matter? And then we'll ask that positively. If Jesus did rise from the dead, does it matter? So those two questions with the answers that the text gives us. Now, the text in 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll realize this as we read it, answers negatively. In other words, what the Apostle Paul is going to do is he's going to say, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then all of these things are in trouble. What we are going to do is reverse those things and state them positively in a way that I hope will cause us to not only be able to affirm that Jesus rose from the dead, but also see that it changes everything about us. It changes how we feel, how we think, how we live, how we exist, how we worship. It changes everything. So let's read the text and then we'll ask of the text those two questions. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll pick it up in verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? They were fighting with some Greek philosophy here and interacting. It was invading the church. By the way, it's a good reminder for us that often the philosophies of the world around us, the philosophies of the culture also threaten to invade the church. This one invading, saying there is no resurrection from the dead. Verse 13, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. In other words, if we say that Jesus was raised and Jesus wasn't raised, we're actually making God out to be a liar. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. If you underline verses in your Bible, underline that one. It was a shock to me as a young Christian when I understood it. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Highlight that one. Star it. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man death came, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. All right, first question. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, does it matter? Let me first say that there are ways that we can at least come close to proving that Jesus rose from the dead. There are external evidences that we can go to and internal evidences that we can go to that seek to prove this. This has been a battle for over 2,000 years. It's not a new battle, so don't let the question scare you. There are all sorts of external evidences. My favorite ones include what we talked about last Sunday on Palm Sunday, the reality of fulfilled prophecy, over 330 specific prophecies about Jesus. And could it have been chance? Not if you were a thinking person. I believe just based on 8 fulfilled prophecies directly in Jesus that it takes more faith not to believe in the Bible and the resurrection of Jesus than it does to believe in Jesus. Also external evidence, we could go to the changed lives of the disciples. Here's this group so longing for the Messiah to come, so believing that he had come, and then after Jesus' death, they are falling apart. They hide themselves away, they don't know what to do, they are broken, they are in despair, and yet 12 out of 12, if we include Paul and remove Judas, were willing to give their lives for their faith. 11 out of 12 actually had to pay that price. And in fact, if you want to include Judas in the mix, why did Judas commit suicide? I think it's because he realized who Jesus was. And he realized the horror of what he had been a part of in betraying Jesus. And so even his life and death display the reality and the richness of Jesus' resurrection. Not only that, history. Again, the battle has been there. You can read all sorts of books, more than a carpenter, Josh McDowell, so many more that go into external evidences. There's also internal evidences that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. By internal, I mean, I know him. He is in my life. I love him. He loves me. It's something that I experience. And it's not only something that I experience internal. It's something that we experience together. Jesus is alive. Now in this passage, there's a statement that is shocking. I mentioned to you, it's one of those statements that you should underline, highlight, because it's one of those that few of us in North America actually believe. In fact, McLean's This Week has an article on why it is better to believe even if God does not exist than not to believe. I want to share with you, that's not what the Bible teaches. I was raised with that. It's better to be a Christian. You have good morals. You have good standards. You have good work ethic. It's better to be a Christian even if God doesn't exist. Even if Jesus was not raised from the dead. And here is what the Bible teaches. Verse 19. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. What does that mean? It means this: if Jesus did not rise from the dead and you have an authentic relationship with him, then you of all people are most to be pitied. Why? Because a living relationship with a living Jesus changes us. Why? Because if I really believe, because if God is real to me, if my faith is placed in him, I've confessed with my mouth, Jesus is Lord, believed in my heart, God raised him from the dead. If that is what I believe, if that is what I confess, then it makes such an impact on my life. So much change, so much surrender, so much security. That if Jesus did not rise from the dead, that kind of passionate life for the glory of God in the name of the risen Savior Jesus is a waste and to be pitied. Before we go to the next question, let this verse, this question, be a challenge to all of us. If someone was to evaluate your life, would they say about your life, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then this person is to be pitied? In other words, stated positively, is your life so dominated and driven by submission to the Savior, by joy in him, by a change that causes you to live and feel and experience life in a different way? Are you so marked by your belief in the resurrection of Jesus that you're willing to suffer, that you're willing to live with passion, that you're investing in eternity, that your life is pointing to eternal life in Jesus? Would others look at you and say, you know, Pastor Rob, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, I pity you? I love how they say about William Borden. We'll come back to him a little bit later. But apart from faith in Jesus, there is no explanation for such a life. Could that be said about you? If Jesus did not rise from the dead, the Bible says that those who are true followers of Jesus are most to be pitied. All right, let's ask the question and get more into the text, stated more positively. If Jesus did rise from the dead, and Jesus did, does it matter? In fact, the one verse I want you to star and highlight and underline, verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. It's a statement of reality. Now, as Paul works through this, you'll notice, or maybe you have already noticed as you pre-read this, or even as you've read it with me this morning, that he states things negatively. We're going to flip them and state them positively. If Jesus did rise from the dead, what's the difference that will make? Now, we're going to do something that Pastor Thomas led us in a little bit earlier, some Christianese, or Pastor Thomas, what did you call it again? Christian code. All right, so we're going to play the Christian code, and we're going to do it each major point, all right? So this morning, in the first few times, it was kind of nervous in the first service. We're not going to be nervous in the second service, right? There's more of us. So when I say he is risen, you say?
He is risen indeed.
It's not bad. It could be better, but it's not bad. All right, so the first thing we notice from this text, if Jesus rose from the dead, because Jesus rose from the dead, we'll state it in a question, if Jesus rose from the dead, sharing the gospel is great. Here it is stated negatively, verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. Here's the negative. Listen, if you're sharing about Jesus, if you're talking about him, if you're obeying 2 Corinthians 5, 11 to 21, and you're saying in the name of Jesus, be reconciled to God, we're pleading on his behalf. If Jesus rose from the dead, then sharing about Jesus is the greatest thing that you can do. Sharing the gospel that we are sinners, that Jesus lived a perfect life and died on the cross in our place because the wages of sin is death. And then he rose again and now invites us into relationship with him through his people. That's us. See, one of our great responsibilities, one of our great joys is to be able to share Jesus with others. And in fact, the Bible says because Jesus has risen from the dead, it's actually the greatest thing that we can do. That the Bible claims that there's one man greater than all the other men and women who have ever lived up till Jesus. And that man, Matthew 11, 11, if you want to check me later, is John the Baptist. What did John the Baptist do that was great? No miracles. very smelly, ate weird things, wore weird things. But John the Baptist, greater than any other person before him, pointed clearly to Jesus. And this text says something just amazing, just blows you away. It says, and those who are least in the kingdom of heaven are greater than John the Baptist. By the way, that's you and me. Which if we believe this, if we believe that our greatness comes from pointing to Jesus, that makes us greater than David, Noah, Esther, Ruth, Samson. Well, you probably knew that already. But we could go on and on. Sharing Jesus matters because Jesus rose from the dead. Brothers and sisters, you may or may not have the gift of evangelism, but all of us have been called to point to him. I don't believe I have the gift of evangelism, but I do believe in doing the work of an evangelist. Last Sunday, someone wrote on a card and said, I trusted in Jesus for the very first time in my life today. Someone today has done that as well, handed me their card. Then this week, someone in our congregation invited me to share the gospel with someone they loved, and we went and we talked about the greatness of the love of God and then invited them to put their faith in Jesus, and they did. And we celebrate. Our job is to point. Our job is to share. And because Jesus has risen from the dead, everyone here who claims to be a follower of Jesus has that privilege, that responsibility to share the gospel. Are you ready? He is risen. All right, so sharing the gospel. Secondly, security that our faith brings freedom. So Jesus rose from the dead. Now we can have security that it actually means something. Okay, so the death of Jesus, we know he died historically. We can come very close to proving that. In fact, so close, it's more sure than almost every other historical event. Because Jesus rose from the dead, it gives us security that our faith matters, that our faith brings forgiveness. Look at verse 14. Again, stated negatively, we're going to flip it positively. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. In other words, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, your faith is meaningless. Because Jesus rose from the dead, your faith brings forgiveness and freedom and reconciliation with God. Christianity rises and falls on the resurrection of Jesus, the Messiah. When the blasphemers say they have found the tomb of Jesus, if you could show us a Jesus who had not been risen from the dead, you would destroy Christianity. Now you can't, because he rose. But it means that our faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross is now authenticated by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Here's what 1 Peter 1 says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See how important Peter understands it? Listen, the new birth comes because Jesus has risen from the dead. Freedom from the condemnation of sin. Freedom to know that we are fully and completely forgiven. Absolute security. Here's Romans 4:25. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification, is what the Bible says. In other words, his resurrection guarantees that we are declared righteous before the living God. This is amazing. If we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, then not only will we be those who share, we will be those who are absolutely secure in our own forgiveness, in our own purpose, in the own meaning we have in life. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. Share. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. Be secure. Are you ready? He is risen.
He is risen.
Thirdly, we're saved for eternal life. Very close to the last one, but because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, look at verse 18. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. They've ended. They've come to nothing. Or really here, you might be surprised to know this word for perish doesn't just mean dead as in they go into the ground and they no longer exist. Because those in Paul's day and those throughout really the history of Christianity and the history of the world have, for the most part, believed in God and gods, and understood now in the context of the God of the Bible that he is holy. And so if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then we are still in our sins. And if we are still in our sins, then we still need to pay the penalty of sin. And the penalty of sin is not just annihilation, as much as some would wish that it was. The penalty of sin is eternal damnation. I mean, this is why it's so important, brothers and sisters, that we not only celebrate Easter, but we share about it and we live in light of it. I've been saved for eternal life. Listen to John 11. Now, when Jesus came, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Then everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Then he said these powerful words, proved it with the resurrection of Lazarus and then his own resurrection. Do you believe? I mean, do you believe? I mean, this is so incredible. We are saved for eternity. Why does it matter that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? It matters because then we will see sharing the gospel is great. Then we will understand what it means to be forgiven and find security and wholeness in the forgiveness for our sins. We'll understand that we are saved from eternal death to eternal life. Are you ready? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Fourthly, all suffering and being all in only has meaning if Jesus rose again. That phrase, all in, let me explain it a little bit. I thought I had come up with it, but I have been gently corrected by one of our staff members. I won't mention Pastor Thomas's name. And he said when he first came, it was the very first study that he did. Very first one?
Before I was even hired.
Before you were even hired. So I've grabbed it and taken it, and now it's mine. So just so you know. It only makes sense, the suffering we go through, it only makes sense to be fully devoted to Jesus, no matter what the cost, if Jesus rose from the dead. That's the only way it makes sense. Brothers and sisters, you may look around the world and see immense suffering. I mean, I did this morning, even watching the news and hearing of the 148 in Kenya who gave their life because they claim to be followers of Jesus. And even as we hear of that, we know there is much more going on. Nations like Pakistan and India, all over Africa. Is it worth it to suffer for the gospel? Now, I think we haven't seen that kind of suffering, but I also think that we will. Our world is moving farther and farther away from biblical Christianity, and those who want to hold on to biblical Christianity, those who want to stay faithful to the God of the Bible, are going to more and more be in conflict with the culture until we are proclaimed to be unloving and insensitive and intolerant and all sorts of other things, even as we are marked by love. It was amazing to me this morning, the CBC was reporting on what went on in Kenya, and I wrote it down on the back of my sermon notes because it was so profound to me that this lady was talking about this response to suffering. And here's what she said. I don't know if she's a believer or not, she was just the one reporting. Because Kenya is a Christian country, people are turning towards healing and reconciliation, not anger and revenge. Isn't that profound? Any other religion would be demanding response in kind. See, Christianity is one where someone like Roy Comrie can share, and we can even start to understand how he could love someone who would hurt and kill his sister. suffering and being all in only has meaning if Jesus rose from the dead. And I love this. Verse 17, we've already hit this, but I want to hit it again. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. That's horrifying. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Why? Because we're all in. Because we're fully devoted. Because our lives are marked by the resurrected Savior. And that means we're willing to sacrifice. That means we're willing to live in light of eternity. That means that to live is Christ, to die is gain. That means all that we are and all that we have are His. And that only makes sense if He's alive. And He is. Are you ready? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
So that means sharing the gospel is great. That means we can have the security that faith brings. That means we're saved for eternal life. That means suffering and being all in has meaning. Now, how do we apply this to our lives this morning? How do we take the text on paper and let it shape the reality of who we are and whose we are? One scholar says this: without the resurrection, we tend to want our pleasures here and now, and so we avoid risk and danger and difficulty and pain and discomfort and frustration. And so our love is tame and bland and weak and cautious and timid. If Jesus rose from the dead, and He did, then it changes everything. Or you don't really believe it. So I want to settle in on three things that it will change. The first is it will give us security. When the world around us is falling apart and we hear of terror, persecution, and open animosity towards cities and states who only want to protect the rights of Christians to refuse to do things that go against their conscience. And as that invades more and more in our world, can we rest secure? And the answer is yes, because Jesus rose from the dead. What about when we struggle with our own sin, when we look at our own lives and our thoughts and our motives and our actions don't match up to what Jesus desires? Can we still rest secure in Him? And the answer is yes. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus conquered sin and death. And there's so many apologetics that we could turn to be secure in this. In fact, again, I would say this externally. As you study Christianity, I believe it takes more faith to not believe in Christianity than to believe in it. However, what will make us truly secure is not piling on apologetics, as important as that may be, but knowing inside, because we know Him. I'm secure because Jesus loves me. I'm secure because nothing can separate me from the love of God. I'm secure even if my entire life falls apart, because I have the guarantee in the death and resurrection of Jesus, my Messiah, of the goodness of God towards me. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? See, I'm secure enough to know that if Jesus rose from the dead, and He did, that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Do you know that? Are you feeling in light of that? Secondly, surrender. This is the all-in part. And you get this a lot in this church, because I think when we understand the gospel and we want to preach the gospel every Sunday, when you understand the gospel, you understand what the Old Testament points to, what the New Testament experiences, and then looks back to this celebration of Jesus. When we fully understand this, the only response that makes any sense, the only response Romans 12 says that's logical, that has any sort of intellectual credibility, is if we just say to Him, I'm all in. I'm a living sacrifice. My life is Yours, no matter what the cost. And sometimes it's extreme. You remember we talked a little bit about William Borden, this amazing man, rich in his own right, educated in the best schools, a future that was amazing. He heard an amazing sermon, and he responded to that sermon in submission. And he said, I won't reserve anything. And he wrote in the back of his Bible, no reserves. A little bit later, he was being offered all of these wonderful things and was struggling with temptations to live life as though God didn't exist or Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. Just live life as normal and do well in job and do well in life. And as he was praying that through, he wrote just under where he had written the first statement, no retreats, no reserves, no retreats. And off he goes in very public ministries, going to China to minister to Muslims. Goes to Egypt on the way. He wants to learn Arabic. He's learning Arabic. He's living for Jesus. He's sharing the gospel. And he contracts spinal meningitis. And at 25 years old, he dies in Egypt. Didn't even get where God had called him. What a waste. Right? Wrong. Just before he died, in his Bible, underneath no reserves, underneath no retreats, he writes no regrets. And then, as many have said about him, this man only makes sense because of his faith in Jesus. It's a chance for us, Easter Sunday, a chance for us to say, not only praise God for his salvation. Praise Jesus because he rose again. Oh, that we'd be filled with the Spirit and live for his glory. But it's also a chance for us to evaluate our own lives, not only in what we feel, but also in what we're willing to do. Are you willing to open your hands and just say to the living God, I'm all in, I'm all yours, I'm surrendered fully, no matter what the cost. And for those who knew Jesus best, the cost was tremendous, and I believe in our time will be as well. Secure surrender. Lastly, share. We need to get this passion back. People without Jesus, we state this as strongly as I can. If you're here this morning and you have not trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you will live in the wages of your sin for all eternity. And the Bible describes that as hell, a conscious torment for all eternity. We believe what the Bible says, as horrifying as it is. We also believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he took upon himself the wrath of God, the wages we earned, and he rose again. And the message of reconciliation, the message he has given his children, that's all of us, by the way. Oh, it's my job to evangelize. Absolutely correct. It's the pastor's job to evangelize. Absolutely correct. It's everyone who knows Jesus. When's the last time you shared with someone the gospel? When's the last time you had the opportunity to help someone see the greatness of their sin and the glory of the Savior and trust in him? You know, the Bible says that when that's authentic, heaven erupts in a party. Each of us has been called to share. Let me say this also, just to appease us a little bit. It's our responsibility to share faithfully according to the text and to live faithfully according to the character that God requires. It's people's job to respond and God's job to save. So share the gospel of the risen Savior. Last chance. Are you ready? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let's pray.